Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We have been working our way through one of the many lists that you find in the Bible. This particular one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we have gotten into our serious study of Paul's first epistle to the Church of Thessalonica. And in other studies, we have come across lists and we have taken them item by item by item by item. There's a reason why they're there. A list in the Bible is there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. The Holy Spirit has put it there for our learning, for our knowledge, for our edification. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, including lists. But this particular list is unusual in that it gives six evidences that Paul considered to be proof that the Thessalonians were the elect people of God. Some of the elect people of God, not all, of course. God has a whole lot more elect people than the Christians in Thessalonica. But this is the way he puts it, remember, in verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. And then verse 5 starts with the word for, or we could say because. This is how I know your election. I just said knowing your election. Well, Paul, how in the world can you know something like that? Only God knows who the elect are. I know. A lot of people who believe the doctrine of election also believe it's not possible to know who the elect are. But I'm trying to show you from Scripture that it is possible. There are evidences. There are manifestations of those who are indeed the elect of God. And if you have these evidences, then you can have assurance of your election. If you don't have these evidences, then you need to be concerned about whether you are one of the elect. But of course, that's not really the issue. The issue is not, am I one of the elect? The issue is, am I a true believer in Jesus Christ? We believe in Christ. We believe the gospel. We believe the message of salvation that comes to us, and then when we have believed it, we come to understand that the reason I believed it is because, guess what? I am one of the elect of God. I had no idea until after I was saved and began to study the Bible that that's, in fact, what my faith in Christ indicates. But sure enough, that's what it indicates. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, March 6th. And thank you for considering supporting the Beacon Broadcast as we study the Word of God verse by verse, line by line. And when we do that, we come into some controversial parts, and we do that without apology. We don't need to apologize for anything that the Bible says. We don't need to be embarrassed about it. We don't need to be hush-hush about it. I remember years ago when I was first wrestling with this doctrine of election that I was finding in the Bible, but I had been reared in a Christian context where most of the people I knew were rather hostile to this doctrine of election, and so I didn't pay a lot of attention, as a lot of people don't. A lot of Christians are in the same boat that I used to be in. Yeah, it's there, but only aberrant Christians believe that doctrine. Most Christians don't believe it. Well, what is true, what is real, what is taught in the Bible is not determined by majority vote. You know that, don't you? We don't decide what is true by who believes it and who doesn't, who thinks it's true and who doesn't, who votes for it and who doesn't, who embraces it and who doesn't. We determine this by studying the Bible and dealing with what it says, and here we are. But I started to say, when I was a young Christian, young pastor actually, not a young Christian, but a young pastor, wrestling with this doctrine, I had already developed a friendship with a particular man, and to my surprise, in talking with him conversationally, he tells me that he believes in the doctrine of election. Now, I had no idea. I'd known him for a number of years. I'd heard him preach. I knew something about his life and ministry. He was pastoring a church that was doing very well. And so I was quite surprised when he told me that he believed in the doctrine of election. But this is what he said. And I love this man. Of course, he's been with the Lord many, many years. But I love this man. I respected his ministry, but this really disappointed me when I really began to come to grips with this whole thing. But he said, well, I look at the doctrine of election as a family secret. Yes, it's taught in the Bible. Yes, I believe it. But I don't talk about it except among other believers. In other words, and he went on to explain this, I don't preach it because there are almost certainly lost people in the congregation whenever I preach, and they don't understand the doctrine of election. It's a family secret, so I don't talk about it outside the family, just like all of us usually have some secrets in our family that we only talk about with other family members, some crazy uncle that we wouldn't dare gossip about to other people, but everybody who knows him, that's a different matter. We talk about that. Well, to put election in that category sounded reasonable at first, but then I kept reading the Bible and I realized, wait a minute. Christ talked about this doctrine to unconverted people. You will not come to me because I have not chosen you, and so forth. I'm not quoting an exact verse, but you'll find John chapter 6. A sermon of Christ to a great multitude of people, including scribes and Pharisees who were anything but believers. And he preached the gospel, he preached the doctrine of election to them as clear and plain as it can be preached. He wasn't holding back. He didn't consider it to be a family secret, only to be talked about among other Christians. He considered it to be a doctrine to be proclaimed. And you'll find that the Apostle Paul often did that as well. So, no, there isn't anything in the Bible that we hush-hush about and only talk about among a small circle of believers, but not outside of that. It's all there for a reason, and the doctrine of election, controversial as it is, has a very powerful and humbling influence upon people when the Holy Spirit causes them to think about it. God chooses his people? Yes. So, I must have a work of God in my heart first before I can understand the gospel and believe in Christ? Yes. So, I can't do what is necessary within myself to come to a proper understanding of the gospel in Christ and a proper faith in the Christ and in the gospel. I'm dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit doing that within me? Yes. Now, right at this point, there's two things that can happen. A person can say, well, if that's the way it is, I won't bother, I won't pay any attention. And, unfortunately, the answer to that is, if you persist in that attitude, you are guaranteed of going to hell. But the other response is to humble one completely. But I know I need Christ. I know I need to be saved. And I'm dependent upon God, the Holy Spirit, to do that work within me and to begin to cry out to God for his saving grace, to cry out to Jesus Christ for his embrace, to cry out to God to send his Spirit to work within your heart. And you see, that humble, desperate, believing attitude is exactly what we need to come to Christ, and everyone who comes to Christ like that is received. Everyone. In fact, remember Jesus, in one of his sermons to a mixed multitude, some followers of his and some hostile to him, Jesus spoke this famous statement. You'll find it in John chapter 6, where he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out." I can't tell you how many times I've heard the last part of that verse. That's one verse, just one verse that I just quoted to you. And I can't tell you how many times I heard the last part of that verse in evangelistic messages and in appeals to come to Christ. Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Christ, and you will not be cast out." Absolutely true. Wonderful. What wonderful truth. But why do you split a verse right down the middle and don't give the first part? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him who comes to me I will in no wise cast out." That first part, of course, is talking about the doctrine of election. Jesus laid it out. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." That act of the Father choosing them and giving them to Christ guarantees that they will come at the appointed time. They will come, and everyone that comes, because "all that the Father gives me shall come to me," everyone who comes to Christ, of course, will be received, because they're coming because they were given to Christ by the Father. They are coming because the Holy Spirit of God is drawing them to Christ. "Everyone who comes to me," or "all who come to me," "no one who comes to me shall be cast out." That is, all who come to me with a repentant faith, with a Holy Spirit-wrought faith, with a born-again faith, all who come to Christ like that are going to be received. And so it humbles people to understand that salvation is not in my hands, like I've been told all my life. God voted for me, the devil votes against me, and I cast the deciding vote. That's the way some people explain the doctrine of election, which is nonsense as far as the Bible is concerned. When people come to understand, I'm shut up to a sovereign God. I'm dependent upon him to do a work within me. I'm dependent upon him to open my heart and open my mind and give me an understanding of Christ in a saving way, and to desire Christ in a saving way. I can't do that myself. I'm not capable of that. I'm dependent upon God for that. I'm boxed into a corner, dependent totally upon his mercy, totally upon his grace. I call out to him for the help that I need. And that puts me in the right attitude that brings me humbly with a repentant faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone who comes to him like that is received. Not a single one who comes to him like that is ever cast out. And that's a proper understanding of the doctrine of salvation. Well, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.